Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning, December 2nd, 2019. Happy Advent to all of you. Hope your Advent is going well so far. A beautiful season of reflection and anticipation as we wait for the coming of the Lord. There's a really cool story on Catholic News Agency about the Pope visiting Greccio. And Joan Lewis mentioned this in our discussion last week, that the Pope was going to be doing this. And Greccio is a place of the first nativity that was actually put together by St. Francis. At least that's what our church teaches us. And it dates all the way back to the year 1223. We'll have a brief story about it in the news this morning, but also check out the beautiful story that Catholic News Agency has done, along with an apostolic letter the Pope has written about the importance of the nativity scene in our lives. And he talks about all of the different mentions in Scripture, of course, of our Lord's birth, but the roles that the different people are playing, the shepherds and three kings and all the people there, and Mary and Joseph. So it's pretty phenomenal and just a beautiful thing to look at and contemplate, which we're supposed to be doing during this Advent season. Now, prayers going out this morning, just such a heartbreaking story out of Duluth, Minnesota. And I had the opportunity when I spoke at one of their recent women's conferences in Duluth, which was phenomenal, to meet Bishop Serba. Catholic News Agency has a full report, a very well-written report. Gosh, so sad. Died suddenly, suffering cardiac arrest before he was about to celebrate Mass, and went to the hospital. They took him to the hospital right away, and they could not revive him. He was only 59 years old. And his brother is a priest in the same diocese. So our prayers going out to our brothers and sisters in Duluth, Minnesota, and the surrounding area, those who knew and loved and worked with Bishop Paul Serba, may he rest in peace, but dying suddenly yesterday at the start of Advent as he was about to, have Mass there. It's just so sad. And such a young and vibrant bishop. And again, so supportive of EWTN and Catholic Radio, and also very involved in the planning and the supporting of the women's conference there. He came to a dinner with the team and sat with us and talked about how excited he was about the women's conference that continues to grow, and such a sad thing for our friends there. Just hard to believe. So we pray for him and his family, and especially all of our brothers and sisters in the Diocese of Duluth this morning. We'll have news on that in our regularly scheduled newscast coming up in just a few minutes. Coming up on the program this morning, we are going to be chatting about something very important that's been making a lot of headlines recently, and this is parental rights or lack thereof when it comes to healthcare. We've seen a number of different stories, not only around the world, but right here in the U.S. of A., where parents, their rights are trampled upon, and hospitals say, well, no, this person, we don't think that they're viable enough, and they make these decisions. So what do we do? What rights do we have when it comes to healthcare and parental rights? We'll talk about that with Michael Vaca. He is the Assistant Director of Ministry and Policy for CMF Curo, and he'll also take your calls live as well. And then thanks to our friend Tom Price at EWTN Radio for telling about this very cool story. We're going to be speaking with a wonderful priest on Emerald Isle in the beautiful land of Ireland about this 10 Minutes with Jesus podcast initiative. And it's designed to help us get closer to the Lord and do a better job at maybe learning a little bit more about prayer. And he joins us at 39 minutes past the hour, again from Ireland, then wrapping up a Monday morning, as we always do, with our dear friend Gail Buckley and our Bible verse of the week. Again, do hope that your Advent is going well so far. A lot of news to get through, including the fact that there's a big storm, even more bad weather, heading to the East Coast that could cause even more problems when it comes to traveling both on the road and in the air. Right now, it's 4 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, December 2nd, 2019. Let's see what's happening in and around our world as we begin the Advent season. Well, as we just mentioned, and there is a more detailed report at CatholicNewsAgency.com, very sad story of the Diocese of Duluth, Minnesota. The bishop there, Paul Serba, passing away yesterday after suffering a heart attack before offering Mass. He was only 59 years old. He went into cardiac arrest at St. Rose Church in Proctor, Minnesota. He was then immediately rushed to a hospital where attempts, though, to revive him were unsuccessful. He did receive last rites from the hospital and prison chaplain there in the diocese and was pronounced dead shortly after 9 a.m. on Sunday. Serbo was reportedly preparing for Mass when he fell ill. Funeral arrangements have not yet been made. He's survived by his mother, three siblings, and their families. His brother, Father Joseph Serba, is a priest in the Diocese of Duluth. He's a native of the Twin Cities, ordained a priest back in 1986 at the young age of 25, consecrated as bishop in 2009, and was just 13 days away from a 10th anniversary of his episcopal consecration. Pope Francis says this Advent, choose prayer and charity over consumerism and consumption. Pope Francis saying yesterday in his first Mass of the new liturgical year, resist the dazzling lights of consumption, which will shine everywhere this month, and believe that prayer and charity are not lost time, but the greatest treasures. A priceless relic, speaking of treasures, connected to Jesus, is returning to Bethlehem. The small piece of wood is a part of the manger where Jesus rested after his birth. It's been kept for veneration in Rome, but was handed over last week to Catholic authorities in Bethlehem. The wood will be placed in St. Catherine's Church next to the Church of the Nativity in Manger Square. The Vatican has had the relic since the 7th century. Now, St. Catherine's Church is where you exit from. It's literally connected to the Church of the Nativity in Manger Square. So you walk up from the actual site of the Nativity, the manger, at the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, and then you come up, and then there's a door that you go through, and then you go through a little tour of the beautiful church next door of St. Catherine's. So it's connected right to the Church of the Nativity. It's a neat story that broke over the weekend. We'll have more on that and talk to Steve Ray about it to give us a little bit more detail. All right, another news this morning, a big story, especially out on the East Coast. Flyers hoping they can jet out of the big three area airports today before that new round of bad weather comes through. 1,000 flights. 1,000 flights. How, that's just crazy. At Newark, LaGuardia, and Kennedy were canceled yesterday due to the bad weather here in that area and around the country, though some passengers weren't that bothered by it all and are taking it in stride.
Well, you know, it's airline travel today, and you have to kind of go with the flow, and I don't want them not to be safe, so I had rather sit in an airport a little while.
The airline says they're hoping to get as many people out on flights as possible this morning before another snowstorm comes in late this afternoon. Speaking of which, the misery forecast to continue today. The heavy snow in the Northeast and freezing rain will come at you if you're out in that part of the country, and it will continue through tomorrow. Here's meteorologist Bill Cairns, who says the weather, yep, is bound to cause problems throughout the day.
As we go throughout the day, this storm will begin to intensify. There's going to be a narrow, heavy band of snow that's going to be somewhere near New York City. It may be areas just in the north. It may be in northern Jersey. Someone's going to get a quick 3 to 6 inches right during the evening rush hour.
Wow, the weather also having an impact already on air travel. You heard about the flights canceled over the weekend. Already today, 500 flights have been canceled or delayed. Mexico says it has arrested a number of people suspected in last month's massacre of 9 women and children, all with dual U.S.-Mexican citizenship. The arrest coming over the weekend, but no other information available. A drug cartel suspected of murdering the members of an offshoot Mormon sect not affiliated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. John Klein tells us President Trump traveling to London today ahead of the NATO summit tomorrow and Wednesday.
Trump is scheduled to meet one-on-one with a number of European leaders, including French President Emmanuel Macron and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Trump does not have a meeting scheduled with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, but a spokesman for the Prime Minister says they look forward to meeting one another. Britons will vote in parliamentary elections next week, and Johnson has publicly said Trump should not comment on the elections while he's in London.
The U.S. Supreme Court will hear a gun control case for the first time in nearly 10 years. Oral arguments will take place today over a challenge to a New York City law restricting people from taking their handgun outside city limits. The law repealed earlier this year, but it will nevertheless be argued before the High Court. The court's ruling could have implications for gun rights across the country. And it's now legal to buy recreational marijuana in Michigan. Legal sales of marijuana began yesterday. Voters last year approved legalizing the sales to people 21 and older. It is Cyber Monday, and reporter Jolene Kent has some tips on how to protect your personal information while shopping online this Cyber Monday.
To protect yourself, experts recommend don't buy from third-party sites to avoid getting scammed. Make sure you're using a secure URL with HTTPS and check out with PayPal or another payment service.
Already this holiday shopping season, e-commerce spending has hit a record on Thanksgiving Day, while Black Friday online sales were up 19%. And the U.S. Postal Service expanding its Sunday package delivery in high-volume areas to accommodate the Christmas rush. Reporter Chris Clackham has the details on when customers should have those packages in as the deadlines for Christmas approach.
For standard shipping, the deadlines are December 13th for UPS, the 14th for the Postal Service, the 16th for FedEx.
The service estimates it will deliver 28 million packages a day. From December 16th to the 20th, the deadlines are different for Alaska and Hawaii. I guess it's because we had such a short time between, Thanksgiving was so late, and all of a sudden, this shopping season is upon us, and then thinking about that deadline is kind of freaking me out because I have so much to do. I have so many packages to mail. Anyway, I'm sure we all do. All right, I digress. The phone number, if you'd like to join the conversation, and we have important ones, as we always do here on Catholic Connection, 877-573-7825. Michael Vacca, who is the Assistant Director of Ministry and Policy for our friends at CMF Curo, is going to be in studio with us talking about very important issues related to health care. That's coming up, along with a really fun conversation, uplifting and something perfect for Advent, thanks to our friend Tom Price for letting us know about this wonderful podcast initiative, 10 Minutes with Jesus. How nice. And it's very, very popular and growing, and so we'll tell you all about that. And then Bible basic instructions before leaving Earth. Can't wait to chat with our dear sister Gail Buckley with our Bible verse of the week beginning this brand new season of Advent 2019. Also asking you to keep Ave Maria Radio, WDEO, AM 990 in your prayers. We're having an urgent winter drive, and if you know anyone who lives in the area or those who listen online on our app, if you could tell them, or if you think about supporting us, we greatly appreciate it. We work in conjunction with a wonderful team at EWTN to provide programming for all of our affiliates around the country and around the world. More information at AveMariaRadio.net and also on my Facebook page and Twitter. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, so maybe you can let folks know about our urgent drive and give us your support. Again, if you'd like to join in on this conversation, the number is 877-573-7825. It's a Monday, December 2nd, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
the stories, you read the headlines, and we need to know how particular issues affect us as Catholic believers. And that's why we appreciate so much the great work of CMF Curo. Michael Vaca is in studio with us. He's the Assistant Director of Ministry and Policy. For those not familiar with CMF Curo, Michael, give us like just a basic background about what you do.
Sure, Teresa. Thanks so much for having me on. Mm-hmm. So the Christ Medicus Foundation, which is the CMF part, really began in 1999 to protect conscience rights. Beginning in October of 2014, we launched a program called Curo, which in Latin means to heal. And what it is it's a healthcare sharing program that partners with Samaritan Ministries to be able to provide Christians throughout the country with a Catholic health share experience. So for your listeners, Teresa, that are not familiar with health sharing, it's the simple way to explain it is it's the Acts of the Apostles. It's a group of Christians that come together and say, hey, let's all come together and share each other's health care costs. Let's have a community-based health care system instead of a corporate-based health care system. So it's really grassroots health care, and it's a beautiful, beautiful synthesis of the culture of life.
And how's it going? How many people are tapping into that opportunity?
You know, it's good, Teresa. It could always be better. I mean, right now, one of the challenges that we face is that there's a lot of instability in healthcare. Of course, we don't have the individual mandate anymore. We have uncertainty as far as which direction we're going to go. Are we going to go in the direction of patient-centered healthcare and giving patients more rights to talk, you know, to talk with their doctors and to decide their own treatment? And you have another part of the country that wants to push us in the direction of more centralized bureaucratic healthcare, where patients have less mm-hmm. rights and things are controlled by third-party entities, whether it's the government or corporations. And we are emphatically on the side that we need to be in favor of patients' rights. We need to respect the doctor-patient relationship, and we should not make any efforts to socialize or centralize the healthcare system.
But we're seeing so many stories, and I think your role has increased since 2014. Of course, we had a lot of issues with the Obama administration and the mandate that they put out, and it's still being fought in some circles. But in terms of the headlines we're seeing, they're pretty shocking. And I know one of the issues that we wanted to discuss this morning in the time that we have, and by the way, if you have a question, 877-573-7825, parental rights, or should we say lack thereof, in healthcare. Several stories, Michael, making headlines, not only here in the U.S., as you know, but around the world. We have one in Michigan just recently, where it seems that the parents' rights are ignored, or the hospital is taking over in these situations. What do you know about them?
Yeah, it's a great question, Teresa. So the reality here is that death is a mystery. I mean, theologically, yes, the church is clear. It's a separation of the soul from the body. But how and when that actually occurs, the precise moment it occurs, there's a lot of uncertainty. So in cases where it's not clear, mm-hmm. we've had a couple cases in Michigan where children have been declared brain dead, which is not, you know, the same as cardiopulmonary death. These children have shown some signs of life, at least some believe that they have, and their parents wanted to basically continue life support in both of these cases. And the hospital said, no, we don't want that. We think that this person is already dead. We don't have a duty to continue to provide medical care. So what we have, Teresa, unfortunately, is we have a culture of death that now is being given opportunities through a variety of different things to deny parental rights, to deny the primacy of the family, and to say, even though this is your child, we're going to make this decision for you, right? It's checks and they think of it as checks and balances. We think of it as this is you're usurping the parental rights that God gave to these parents vis-a-vis their children.
So what does the person do, the family do that's caught in this?
Yeah, it's complicated. So what ends up happening is they go to the court system, and in most cases, the courts seem to issue a preliminary injunction saying to the hospital, for a certain period of time, whether it's a week, 3 days, whatever, you can't withdraw life support. But then when they go back to try and get that renewed at some point, the courts just say, okay, we're not going to continue to mandate that the hospital system keep the child on life support. In some cases, the children die. In some cases, they find another facility or a long-term rehabilitation facility that will accept these children and give them the love, the compassion, and the care that they deserve as children of God. It's a very tragic situation, Teresa. It's a big mess. And one thing that we can do is educate people about the importance of respecting parental rights. I mean, these parents obviously love their children. They're the ones who have been given the authority from Christ to take care of their children, to raise them. If there's any doubt whatsoever, we should be deferring to their rights instead of, you know, having hospital systems or the government or any third party making that decision for them.
So what are we seeing in the future, depending on what happens with health care? I mean, this nationalized health care program is getting a lot of criticism, the proposals that are being put forth by some of the candidates. We see what's happened in other countries. What are we looking at in the future, Michael, if we don't take hold of this, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's pretty dire, Teresa. We're already seeing, and this ties into the subject of palliative care, but we're already seeing that, and most people are not aware of this, but they should be, Medicare and Medicaid services already has a program which reimburses doctors for the quality of care that they provide, meaning that if a doctor performs the same procedure on two different patients and one gets better and the other one doesn't, that doctor gets paid more for the patient that got better. So what this does, Teresa, is this incentivizes medical professionals to say, I don't really think this person has a very good chance of recovery, and so I'm not going to invest my medical resources in helping this person. So, you know, the advocates for assisted suicide and euthanasia have figured out a long time ago that they don't have to legalize these practices to change the healthcare system. All they have to do is change the way doctors get paid, and it undermines the sanctity of human life. And so many people in the church, Teresa, are not even, they're clueless about this.
So how do we get the word out in addition to doing interviews like this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Christ Medicus Foundation does have a religious freedom campaign. We're working with a variety of different groups to try and get the word out that we need a patient-centered healthcare system. So one thing you can do, and I ask everybody to consider, is to support the work of the Christ Medicus Foundation. But also, stay informed. So, for example, a variety of groups, including Christ Medicus, sends out email updates on different legislative issues. So right now we have a palliative care bill that's before the mm-hmm. Senate. Mm-hmm. And this bill is not, it's a massive government program to fund palliative care. And it's not the traditional palliative care, comfort care until natural death. No, it's a different type of palliative care that's based upon what's termed the quality of human life. So it really provides an opening for assisted suicide, for euthanasia. And so, you know, we invite you to contact your senator, your local senator about this issue. Tell them this is important to you. You don't want to see abuses of human life at the end of life or at the beginning of life, Teresa, because, you know, the reality is human life is a spectrum from conception until natural death. And if we don't respect life at any point in that spectrum, then we're not really giving God the honor that he deserves. And we're certainly not treating our brother and our sisters the way that they deserve to be treated.
877-573-7825. We're taking calls here if you have a question regarding health care and Catholic health care in particular. Let's go to Rob in Pennsylvania. He has a question about his own health situation. Hey, Rob, how are you? Happy Advent to you.
Hi there. This is my first time calling in. Great show. I love it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm just wondering. I have some questions. I have type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. And my insulin and my test strip supplies get very expensive every month. And one of the things that one of the good parts of that Obamacare did was mandated coverage for pre-existing conditions like mine. And I was just wondering, to what extent would my condition be covered under a program like CMS Curo?
Okay, fair question.
Yeah, it's a great question, Rob. And thank you for the call. I really appreciate the opportunity. So, you know, we do operate with restrictions on sharing different pre-existing issues. Sometimes it works out where it's not a bar to people joining, even though they can't share those specific issues. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just not the best fit for them. So one of the things that we like to do to help people that have ongoing pre-existing issues is connect them with what's termed a direct primary care doctor. Now, these are doctors that don't accept insurance. They don't get paid for particular service. They charge you a monthly subscription. You pay, you know, $50, $60 a month, and they provide ongoing maintenance care. So with something like diabetes, they can get you wholesale prices on insulin. They can monitor your glucose levels. So, you know, give us a call, Rob. We'd love to talk about that in a little bit greater depth with you, but there are some restrictions on that.
All right, and we'll give you the website and the phone number for CMF Cure. When we come back, we're chatting with Michael Vaca. More questions, if you have them, 877-573-7825. It's a Monday. It's Catholic Connection. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be right back.
Prepare your heart for the coming of the Christ Child with Advent Reflections, a collection of meditations by priests and bishops from the United Kingdom and Ireland. Take a journey through Scripture to discover the deeper reality of the season with Advent Reflections, Meditations for a Holy Advent, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com or call 1-800-854-6316.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are
committed. As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is Evidences for Christianity. All religions have myths and ideas about a great God who made the world. But no religious teachers except Jesus Christ ever claimed to be that man. G.K. Chesterton said this about that.
The most that any religious prophet had ever said was that he was the true servant of such a being. But that the Creator was present in the detailed daily life of the Roman Empire, that is something utterly unlike anything else in nature. It is the one great startling statement that man has made since he spoke his first articulate word instead of barking like a dog.
And that's Evidence for Christianity. To explore more, go to AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Thanks so much for tuning into Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. Our phone number, talking about healthcare this morning with our friend Michael Vaca, who's in studio with us, taking some really good calls and questions. He is the Assistant Director of Ministry and Policy for CMF Cure. Michael, give us the website, and also you mentioned our caller from Pennsylvania who had a good question about his particular situation, a phone number for him and for others interested.
Sure. So our website is www.cmf, as in Christ Mary Foundation, so CMF, C-U-R-O, cmfcuro.com. I will give my direct number for anybody that is interested in talking about the program. It's 734-582-3688.
Okay, one more time.
That's 734-582-3688.
One of the things that we were discussing during the break is that oftentimes we don't face this, and I'm using the pronoun to represent a lot of us, we don't really look at these issues deeply until there's a tragic situation in our lives, and all of a sudden we're confronted with it head on. What can we be doing in the meantime, whether it's, for example, our last caller deals with this all the time because he has a pre-existing condition such as diabetes, but for those of us who don't have something like that that we're dealing with, we may not be all that much familiar with healthcare because we haven't, besides just paying our bills, we know that it's covered, we go to our doctor's appointments, but then we're thrust into something that is over our heads sometimes, and we get caught up, as we see many people do, in this system that does not value life the way we do.
Yeah, it's really a it is. That's a really good way of saying it, Teresa. It's getting caught. The reality of what we have today is we don't have a patient-centered healthcare system. We have a healthcare system that's largely centered upon for-profit insurance companies. And so many times what happens is people get caught in a difficult situation, and there's no easy solution. There's no way to really get out of that very easily. And so what we need to do, Teresa, is we need to have more people engaged in the conversation that actually want to promote the common good in healthcare instead of just getting their piece of the pie. Right. We need to have a conversation about, well, what does it mean to have a patient-centered healthcare system? How can we really promote that? And we have a lot of great people in healthcare up, you know, young doctors that are saying, listen, I didn't go to medical school to be an administrator for an insurance company. I went to medical school because I love people and I want to help them. And that's what I want to devote my career to. And so they're opening their own practices and charging monthly subscriptions and being very creative and kind of going outside of the medical mainstream in terms of what they're offering people. But sometimes this is necessary, Teresa, because we've got to find ways of breaking through and protecting the dignity of the human person in a culture that doesn't respect really human rights.
So getting back to what you said earlier, which I thought was very very interesting, you were talking about doctors who they benefit from helping people, and you know how many people they help get well. Why wouldn't they want to invest in someone maybe who was really struggling, and all appearances maybe doesn't look like they're going to make it, or have a certain quality of life? But if they were to invest in those types of people, wouldn't that benefit them even more? Versus just saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to concentrate on this person because they're not going to be around very long.
That's the irony is, in terms of the joy and the fulfillment of a physician, yes, absolutely. You know, helping the person that needs help the most,
right,
that should be of the utmost concern. But when you have a payment structure, given human nature what it is, Teresa, when you have a payment structure that says to doctors, you're going to get paid more by treating somebody with a better chance of recovery, that doesn't communicate the right message that we want doctors to have about the importance of treating every single person that comes into their office with the respect that they deserve. We shouldn't be incentivizing medical providers to not treat certain people just because some bureaucrat or somebody doesn't think they have a good quality of life.
Are medical professionals speaking up about this, those who really care? I mean, Catholic or otherwise, really care about the best thing for the patient?
You know, there's a lot of confusion and naivety. I think there are cases where they do speak out, but there's other cases, Teresa, where they're not aware of the depth of the problem. I mean, this issue of parental rights is not just here in Michigan. It is in Michigan, as you know, but it's throughout the country. I mean, I've spoken to doctors in Connecticut and throughout the country, and they're experiencing the same issue where, you know, you basically, if you're a parent and your child ends up in a hospital, Catholic or otherwise, you may encounter this issue where the hospital disagrees with the parents about the course of treatment. And we have to really take that very seriously. I actually think, Teresa, and I'll just say this very directly, I actually think that I'm not saying this is representative of the Christ Medicus Foundation, but I'm saying this personally. I actually think that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops should prayerfully consider amending the ethical and religious directives for healthcare to expressly say that in cases where there's a dispute between the parents and the hospital regarding the course of treatment, the rights of the parent should control.
So has there been efforts to discuss this with the USCCB at all, do you know?
Yes, the Christ Medicus Foundation has been discussing it with the USCCB, their pro-life committee. We've discussed it with the Catholic Medical Association. We've been discussing it with a number of groups. And we're really trying to take the lead on this and to say, look, you know, we need to have a person-centered, patient-centered healthcare system. And what that means for a child, because a child, of course, is a minor, is that the parents have to substitute for the child. So if the child's not able to make this determination, the parents are the legal guardians. They're the ones who should be stepping in. And it's really scary as a parent, Teresa, to think that your parental rights over your own children can be compromised just because your child ends up in a hospital.
Here's what I'm not understanding, though, financially, and maybe I'm just not, math was never my strong suit anyway, but so bear with me in our last segment here. Elder care, let's just look at the issue, elder care. It's a huge business. So if they're just concerned with finances, I would think that keeping people alive for longer, and just from a purely monetary perspective, would be beneficial for them. Because I know this because my mother's 93, and I look at all the things that we're going through in terms of making sure that she has good care. There's a ton of money in that area of medicine. So why aren't they interested in that? Or are they? I'm confused by that.
Yeah, so it depends on the funding stream, Teresa. Okay. In certain cases where the hospital is continuing to receive funds for a particular patient, yeah, there is a financial incentive for them to keep that patient alive. They're continuing to be paid. In other cases, I'll give you an example. My grandfather was in a rehabilitation facility, was on Medicare. And the way that this worked was Medicare paid for a certain number of days, and then they stopped paying the hospital. And so my family got a notice from Medicare saying, your grandfather is being released tomorrow. So we didn't have a hospital bed. We didn't have anything because they wanted another patient to come in there. See, this is the problem with bureaucracy, Teresa, is that it, you know, and John Paul spoke a lot about this. It's people that love, not institutions.
Yeah, very important. Great conversation. So many more questions. We'll have you back on. Give us your website again at CMF Curo.
Yeah, it's cmfcuro.com. God bless you.
You too. And it's CMF, and the letter C.
Teresa, just to give out another number for people to call.
Real quick, we're going
to
cut off. You're going to get cut off. Write that down for me and I'll announce it on the air. cmfcuro.com. We'll be right back.
All right.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I don't think people should have negative fears of God, but I think you should get a lump in your throat. You should feel excited. Suppose I was going to take you and introduce you to the Pope or to the president of some country or something. You might get a little lump in your throat. Forget it. Every day, I live and move and have our being in the presence of God. These are the class of feelings we should have. And we should have them to an intense degree if we really had the sight of Almighty God. These feelings are the feelings which we shall have if we realize His presence. And in proportion as we believe that He is present, we shall have them. And not to have them is not to realize, not to believe that God is present to us.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What is conversion? The Catholic Catechism says there are two kinds of conversions. The first is baptism, which removes original sin and washes away all other sin. The second is the conversion of the heart from sin to the merciful love of God. It is Jesus who calls us to this conversion. The time is fulfilled, he said. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. A perfect example of this conversion is St. Peter, who, after denying his master three times, burst into tears of repentance. St. Ambrose describes the two conversions as the water and tears, the water of baptism and the tears of repentance. Jesus' call to conversion is not first and foremost to outward penance, such as sackcloth and ashes, but to an interior conversion of the heart, without which penances are sterile and futile. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave?
Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why don't we hang out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's 40 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a beautiful start of Advent 2019. It's Monday, December 2nd. Our phone number, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. Trying to get a hold of Father Gavin to talk about 10 Minutes with Jesus. It's a really cool podcast. But cell phone, can't get through there, and no answer, or actually beginning, keep giving voicemail at the other number in Ireland. We'll keep trying, but in the meantime, it happens sometimes with live radio and also overseas numbers, you've got some quirky things going on. I did want to mention this beautiful apostolic letter that just came out from the Pope regarding the Christmas creche, and it's really, really, I think, very moving, especially those of us who love putting out our creche. Now, obviously, because it's Advent, we're not going full throttle with the decorations, and if you put your nativity scene out, usually it's empty, right? And then on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, you put in the baby Jesus. But the Pope walks through the various parts in the nativity scene and why, what one means, what each one means, and why it's important for families to do this. And he actually went to, and Joan mentioned this last week in our segment on Wednesdays that we always do with Joan Lewis, that he was going to travel to the beautiful mountain town in Umbria of Greccio. Greccio is outside of Assisi. I've been to Assisi literally dozens of times, which is beautiful. So I can only imagine how pretty Greccio is. Much smaller than Assisi, but very close to Assisi. And the first crib scene dates all the way back to 1223, and Greccio, the mountain village, made famous by St. Francis, again creating the first crib scene there back in 1223, commemorating the birth of our Lord. So the Pope returns there yesterday to deliver his apostolic letter dedicated to, and the title speaks of, in Latin, an enchanting image. The Latin title of the letter refers to enchanting image of the Christmas creche, one that never ceases to arouse amazement and wonder. The depiction of Jesus itself is a simple and joyful proclamation of the mystery of the incarnation of the Son of God. He referred to it as a living gospel. He said, the nativity scene is like a living gospel rising up from the pages of sacred scripture. Contemplating the Christmas story is like setting out on a spiritual journey drawn by the humility of the God who became man in order to encounter every man and woman. So great is his love for us, writes the Pope, that he became one of us so that we in turn might become one with him. And in the new letter, he is encouraging family traditions of preparing the nativity scene, but also the custom of setting up in the workplace, in schools, hospitals, prisons, and town squares, praising the imagination and creativity going into the masterpieces. He says it's a custom he hopes will never be lost, and that where it has been lost, it can be rediscovered and revived. And this is something very important that we can all relate to here in the U.S., where many people and many local governments have been attacked for, heaven forbid, no pun intended, putting up a nativity scene. Now, according to our laws, you can have a nativity scene if you represent other religions, for example, if it's on public property. And people shouldn't be afraid of putting up nativity scenes. I'm sorry. We need to be out there and sharing this beautiful message of keeping Christ in Christmas. So he talks also in this letter about the gospel origin, recalling the origin of the Christmas creche as related to the Gospels. Coming into the world, the Son of God laid in the place where animals feed. Hay became the first bed of the one who would reveal himself as the bread come down from heaven. Nativity scene, the Holy Father says, evokes a number of the mysterious mysteries of Jesus' life and brings them close to our own daily lives. And he took us back, as the article on Vatican News says, to this town of Greccio, which St. Francis visited in the year 1223. The caves he saw there reminded him of the countryside of Bethlehem. On December 25th, friars and local people came together bringing flowers and torches, writes the Pope. When Francis arrived, He found a manger full of hay and an ox and a donkey. A priest celebrated the Eucharist over the manger, showing the bond between the incarnation of the Son of God and the Eucharist. He said, this is how our tradition began, with everyone gathered in joy around the cave, with no distance between the original event and those sharing in its mystery. With the simplicity of that sign, St. Francis carried out a great work of evangelization. The teaching continues today to offer a simple yet authentic means of portraying the beauty of our faith. Now, something really neat if you're ever in Italy at Christmas time. Italy is known for its Christians, and they are everywhere. As a matter of fact, one of my clients at Tees Italy is going to Rome for Christmas and wanted to know what to do. And I said, you must visit as many churches as possible. Now, obviously, you have the big Christmas scene that they always put up in St. Peter's Square. That's one. But inside, there's a creche in St. Peter's, but also in the major basilicas, St. John Lateran, St. Mary Major, St. Paul Outside the Walls, not to mention in other churches, all of the churches around Rome. And not just the churches, they put them practically everywhere, the creche scenes. There is even a very beautiful nativity scene that really is something not only looking like Greccio, but also a northern Alpine Italian town. And it was put together by sanitation workers who collected bits and pieces of material, and each year they add to it. It's phenomenal. It's actually right around the corner from Joan Lewis's apartment. And she took Deacon Domini there a few years ago to see it. It is really something. And as the Pope is saying in this letter, it really is a way for us to express our love and our devotion, understanding the love of God and the connection with the Eucharist, the incarnation of our Lord, and just this whole simplicity and humility of God coming to us as a child. If you're interested, I can send you some of the images that I put together in the summary consultation that I gave to one of my new Tees Italy clients, and she's going to Rome, and I said, just hang out. Well, first of all, you're Catholic, and you want to go to as many churches as possible because they're so beautiful with the religious art and whatnot. But it's delightful. Absolutely just so heartwarming in this world where God is pushed aside so often. And even in Italy, where there is a lot of people struggling with faith issues and, you know, a very liberal government and things happening there, very anti-church in so many ways, but you still see these traditions that are near and dear to the people's hearts. They still connect to that, despite all the issues in Europe and the ungodly things that go on and how God, as I said, is pushed out of everything. You go across Italy and you see nativity scene after nativity scene after nativity scene. And the one that was put together by the sanitation workers is especially moving because they did whatever they could to really, in their own way, give glory to God. And they have this whole scene of an Italian village and everyone looking toward the Christ child. It really is something to see. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you as we move through the Advent season, which is a time of reflection, contemplation, and of course, anticipation and waiting. And to take a look at this new apostolic letter on the living gospel in the nativity scene, where the Pope says, nativity scene is like a living gospel rising up from the pages of sacred scripture. Contemplating the gospel story of our Lord's birth is setting out on a spiritual journey, drawn by the humility of the God who became man in order to encounter every man and woman. So great is his love for us that he became one of us so that we in turn might become one with him. Happy Advent. We'll be right back.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. The Catholic faith has enemies. We're Catholics. We have enemies. They are a danger to the faith. And yet we're called to defend the faith, to instruct the ignorant, and to love our enemies. These enemies abuse divine revelation, they abuse science and religion, they abuse our history and our past, they abuse power and wealth. We have to learn how to deal with our enemies by picking up a copy of my book, Dangers to the Faith. You can find it online at avemariaradio.net.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is Saint Teresa of the Andes. Her life was hidden in God, full of love, sacrifice, and prayer. This mystical union was the source of her tremendous joy. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Are you looking for an affordable option for your health care? You feel compelled to support pro-life efforts in our country? Then now is the time for you to join CMF Curo. CMF Curo is the country's first healthcare sharing experience that engages church teachings by offering truly pro-life healthcare. CMF Curo members experience healthcare that's ethically consistent with church teachings and rooted in Catholic community. Learn more about CMF Curo and find Catholic healthcare options at mycatholichealthcare.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection, on a Monday, and every Monday we dive into the Word of God with our dear friend convert and Bible study leader and teacher Gail Buckley from Catholic Scripture Study International, Psalm 41:9. Okay, why this verse? Give us the verse and talk about it this morning.
Well, you know, okay, first the verse is, like you said, Psalm 41:9, and it says, "Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me." And one thing I was thinking about, T, is I've heard that this time of the year between Thanksgiving and Christmas is when most people commit suicide.
Aww.
Because they feel alone, you know. So many people are alone or they feel betrayed or whatever. And this verse foretells the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. You know, we know that Judas was one of Jesus' apostles who was with Jesus every day for 3 years. And like the other apostles, he was close to Jesus. Jesus even put Judas in charge of the money. You know, he was their treasurer. And since Judas was always, certainly heard Jesus preaching about how the love of money was wrong, and Jesus warned about storing up treasures for ourselves on earth. And many times spoke about the danger of putting material things and money above God, and talked about how difficult it was for a rich man to enter heaven because of his love of his possessions. And so surely Judas heard all this. But Scripture states in 1 Timothy that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. A lot of people misinterpret that and say the love, they say money is the root of all evil, but
right, it's
the
love of money. Right.
Yeah, the love of money. And it goes on to say that it's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. And as I said, Judas heard the words of Jesus and his many warnings about the love of money, but we're told in John's gospel that Judas was a thief. And since he had charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So it's not surprising that Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. You know, things on this earth, money, material goods, and power were more important to him than his loyalty and his friendship with Jesus. And at one time or another, we all will be betrayed by someone close to us. You know, it may not be to the degree that Judas betrayed Christ, but we all have times when we're betrayed by a friend or even a family member. And it may be something like, you know, not keeping a secret, which depends on the secret, whether it's a small matter, or it could be something that even changes somebody's life, you know, depending on the secret. But it may be betrayal of a spouse who has cheated on us, or a friend who lies to you. But in fact, over a lifetime, I think each of us will probably be betrayed in some way many times. But we need to remember that Jesus never betrays us. He's always with us, and he doesn't abandon us. And as the song says, we have a friend in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard that song, I'm sure. But even our own brothers and sisters, our parents or spouses, at one time or another let us down. But Jesus never does, and he's always there for us. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we're never alone. And there's so much comfort in that. And I'm hoping that someone listening to your show today, you know, who's feeling alone and feeling betrayed or feeling, you know, down and out, will remember that, will know if they have a relationship with Jesus, they're not alone. No matter if the world should turn against you, Jesus is there, ready and waiting, and with open arms for us to call on him. You know, I've been in that place before when I felt, you know, I was betrayed by someone who I thought was a close friend. And I was devastated, but I have Jesus, and I knew I was not alone. And even though emotionally I felt like I was in a dark pit, you know, and my soul was deeply wounded, I knew that Jesus was there, and I knew that I would come through this terrible time and that things would be good again. I can see a silver lining around every cloud because of him. And so I hope that, you know, I had hope that peace, you know, would come again. And only Jesus can bring that, not the world.
Yeah, and I think, too, we think that we're so well connected, and we are. I mean, we're more connected than ever in terms of technology,
yeah.
But that has caused, and Father John Mercado talks about this a lot, it's caused more of a disconnect where people feel more alone, which is really ironic if you think about it.
It really is. It's just like we thought that the computer and all this technology would help us get things done quicker, but it seems to take more time than ever, you know. It's ironic. It really is. And so, like you said, people feel even more alone from social media, because a lot of times that's where people will use social media to, you know, abuse people, you know, and say things against them and cause others to turn against them. And then we've heard about teenagers being, you know, given a hard time on social media.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is this, is Jesus was betrayed by a close friend, so why should we expect less? And the Gospel of Luke, we read where Jesus said to Judas, "Judas, would you betray the Son of a Man with a kiss?" And he certainly, Jesus certainly felt hurt in the rejection of that betrayal, just as we do, because in Hebrews 4:15 it tells us that Jesus can empathize with us because he's experienced the same things we have, except for sin, of course.
Right.
So the Scripture says, "Cast all your troubles on him because he cares for you." So I'm hoping that anyone listening today who feels down and out during this time of the year, feels alone or betrayed, or that they'll turn to Jesus because he's always there for us.
Amen. Great advice, Gail. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, folks, on a Tuesday. Make it a great day and happy Advent.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.